Father, if there's one lost soul that's in this place or one lost soul listening today, I pray that they would be saved this very day. That, Lord, today would be the day of salvation. Lord, if there's anyone here that's lost hope today, I pray that, Lord, you'd resurrect that hope. Lord, we pray for relationships to be resurrected today. So many times we believe they're gone, they're in the tank, it's over. But Lord, you resurrect them, you bring them back together. And so, Father, I ask by the power of your Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, the name above all names, for resurrection today. Lord, I ask you to take your word now and continue to work by the Holy Spirit to guide us, Lord, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and we remember you today the way your scripture tells us, in Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. If you have your Bibles, Luke 22, verse 19. Luke 22, verse 19 today. During the Last Supper. And actually, before we get to that, Peter, if you can put that slide back up. We're talking about being the church. All right? It's one thing. Last year, we're going to stick with gather, grow, and go. But if we gather, if we grow, and if we go out into the world proclaiming the gospel, we're going to be the church. And if we are the church, we'll continue to do this. We'll gather. We'll encourage one another. We'll grow. Charles Spurgeon said that the Bible is so amazing because a baby can jump in and swim in the scripture and not drown. But he says theologians have been searching for the bottom forever and they haven't gotten there yet. And so it's so important that we would be the church. I don't want you to go to church. I want you to be the church. And it's so difficult in the United States of America, in an entertainment-driven world, to be the church. We're used to being entertained. And so I want us to be the church, all right? Look at the graphic here. And I see the graphic. Casey does a great job illustrating these. But something is going to change on that next week. And I sort of want you to look at it and start to think biblically, and then next week we'll see if you notice what changes, all right? It's a little bit of a challenge to see if you're looking and watching, but every time, even when I look at a graphic like that, I want to be biblical, and I want to look at it and go, what would I change, and what's different? It's great. The rock is there. The mountains are there. It's awesome. But just take a peek at it, and then next week, come and see what happens. And some of you are going, oh, I can't be here next week. Well, then look online and you'll see what it looks like next week, okay? But anyway, we're here in Luke chapter 22. And during the Last Supper, it says, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. And then he says, do this in remembrance of me. The Apostle Paul has revelation from God, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, don't turn there, I'm just going to share with you so you know that this is covered, all right? And he says he presented to the church what God had given to him, and it says the same thing in there, do this in remembrance of me. But then he even says he took the cup of the new covenant, which is my blood, and then he says, whenever you do this, do it in remembrance of me. So when we take the bread or we take the cup, the word from Jesus is do it in remembrance of me. Remember. I go to town to buy something. I need to buy a certain part or something. And now, I don't think it's just because I'm getting old. Maybe it's not. But I take a picture of it so I can see it when I get to town. And you think, man, it took you 5 minutes to get there. I'll forget the numbers. I'll forget what it looks like. Or they'll ask me a silly question I can't answer. And I can take my phone and go, here it is. I need this. I used to take broken parts in and I'd put them on the counter and ask the guy, do you have one of them? And I love, the one guy said to me, I got one that isn't broke like that. Yeah. But you have to remember, we have a tendency to forget. So Jesus said, remember. I used to bowl when I was young, and we'd get done milking early, and my brother and I bowled with our older brother and two of his friends, and I went bowling, and I walked into the bowling alley, and I said to my brother, I said, happy anniversary, and he went, and we went, oh, no. And his friend said, you're okay. You're okay. We'll be done bowling by 9. Jewel's open. You can buy roses, and you can still get home. There's a chance, you see. But we forget. And we say, how could you forget something like that? But it happens. You can forget. I love, anybody watch White Christmas over the Christmas holidays? We have to watch it at least once in my house. And in White Christmas, remember Danny Kaye? He saved, you know, Bing Crosby. And every time he wanted Bing Crosby to do something, he'd go like this. His arm, see, that was injured when he saved him. It's a pretty good analogy for Christmas, isn't it? Jesus says, remember. We have a tendency to forget. We drive down the road. I don't know if you notice this. I notice this all the time, but I drive down the road, and you see a cross somewhere along the road. And they're saying, we don't want to forget. And Jesus in the Last Supper said, whenever you do this, he says, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. If you're following in your outline, your second point, God has always directed his people to remember their deliverance. This isn't the only place he does this. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 14, talking about the Passover, when God is telling Moses what to do for the Passover, he says, take a lamb, kill the lamb. He says, take the blood. He says, put it on the doorpost over the top of the door, he says. He says, roast it over an open fire. He tells them how to eat it. He tells them what to do with anything left over. He gives them great directions. And then he says in verse 14, this is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Why did he say that? So that the Israelites would not forget their deliverance. It's so important, church, that they don't forget it. Further down in Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, and when your children ask you, as we come to the table and we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I hope your children say, what's this all about? When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the homes of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and they worshiped. God has always wanted us to remember. And if we're going to be the church, we have to remember what Jesus did for us. Now, you might be in here going, well, Pastor, of course we remember. You keep telling us. You keep taking us to the table. But I'm here to tell you that there are churches that they're in danger of forgetting what Jesus did. Early in his ministry, somebody told Billy Graham, he was a great preacher, stop talking about the blood of Jesus, they said. And he said that sealed the deal for him, that every time he got up to speak, he was going to talk about the blood of Jesus. But you see, some people, they think, well, I have to be popular. I have to win people by entertaining again, you see. And Jesus says, remember me. So if we're going to be the church, we have to remember him and what he did for us, which brings us to the point of what did he do for us? What do we remember? And here's the first point. Jesus' body was torn for the church. You know, we're told that not a bone of his was broken, and it says he took the bread and he broke it. But really, he may have torn the bread too. We're not sure. We weren't there, were we? But when you look at Jesus going to the cross and he says, remember me, this is my body, which is, it's broken for you. They tied Jesus to a pillar and they took a whip with and they took the skin off his back. And so many people are like, oh, I just can't take it. I can hardly take it, you know. But folks, we're supposed to remember what he did for us. If you take away the reality of the cross, everybody can have fun, but there's no forgiveness of sins because you forget about the shedding of blood. We forget about the price that was paid for us. And then the church loses its value because they don't know how valuable they were to their Savior. And it's so important for us to remember that Jesus' body was torn for the church. I can remember when the Passion for the Christ came out. And I remember it came out on a Wednesday night and we had church here and some people went right up the street here and they watched the movie. And I had already seen the movie. I'd seen a preview of it. The guy that made the movie was at the place. I heard him speak, you see. And people came back, and I'll never forget their reaction. They came in the doors of the church. They were weeping. And it was such a reality to them. They said, we just didn't realize what happened. And folks, it's what happened. And Jesus says, remember. If you want to be alive, if you want to be the church, if you really want to be forgiven, you have to remember what I did for you. If you're following in your outline, this is a huge point. Jesus' body is given to and for the church. It says on the night he was betrayed, he took that bread and it says, he said, take this and eat it, all of you. Aren't you glad he didn't say, hey, there's a couple of you guys can eat this here. You guys, you're out. That's not what he said. He said, take this and eat this. See, he offered it to the disciples. He's offered it to you. You're going to have a chance to come today and eat. But do you remember what you're eating about? What you're doing? What are you celebrating? What are you thankful for? He gave it to us. In John chapter 6, you can read through this. And Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, which the Jews were like, what's wrong with this man? They missed the point. Jesus was speaking a spiritual truth. He said, the words I speak to you are spirit and they are life. He said, the flesh profits nothing. But what he meant was, if you won't remember this, if you won't realize what he's done, if you won't recognize that he allowed his body to be broken and his blood to be shed, he says, you can have no part in me. And so he gave the bread, he gave his body to us. And the world says the most blasphemous thing. They say, well, what's God done for me? And you have to say, he died on the cross for you. You know, well, if he would just come down and do a miracle. No, you want a genie in a bottle then. You don't want a savior. And Jesus is a savior. He put his life on the line for us. And he says, remember. Come on, church. Be the church. Remember. So he was given to us, but he was given for us. He paid the ransom. He took our place. He says, I'm going to die for you. In my studies years ago, I didn't take time to look this up, but I know it. I read it. I'll never forget it. It talked about in Rome that a man had been condemned to die. And they had brought him in, and he was waiting, and there was a date set when he would be executed. And one of his best friends came in and said to the emperor, he said, I want to take his place for a day or for 2 days so he may go home and see his family and say goodbye, and then he will come back and he will be executed. And he said, if he does not come back, his friend said, I will stand in his place and you can execute me. The emperor said, go ahead. Let him go say goodbye to his family. And he left. And then he came back. And the two of them were standing before the emperor. And he said, I've never experienced love like this ever before. He said, both of you go. You're free. Folks, Jesus died for us. He came when we were condemned to die. And he said, here, I will take your place. Go free. He didn't say, go tell your family goodbye. He said, you are free. I will be taken. You can read this in the Gospel of John when they come to arrest Jesus. And he says, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am he. Don't miss that. It's a reference from Moses at the burning bush when he said, who are you? And God said, I am. And Jesus said, I am he. And they all fell down. And you know what Jesus' words were? You know, I might have said, have you guys gotten the point yet? That's not what Jesus said. Jesus says, if I'm the one you're looking for, he said, then take me, but let them go. And when we remember him, we have to remember his body was given to and for the church. He gave himself up for you and for me. If we're going to be the church, we have to remember that. We can never forget it. Now, I hope you're ready for this point. Are you ready for this one? It is not for everyone. You ready for another thing that's going to affect the church, the one true church? If we're going to be the church in America today, you know what's happening? There's this word, it's inclusive. I see it all the time out in front of a church, and it says, all are welcome. Everybody's included. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Everybody's welcome to come in to Mount Zion Christian Church. But that not everybody's going to become a Christian. Listen, church. The fallacy is whatever you want to do is okay. Go ahead, come on in. You see, we cannot bow to that. You can't walk in and say you want to be a Christian and then tell Jesus he's wrong and that his word is wrong and you're not going to follow his commands. And it's going on today, you see. And it's very appealing and it's popular and everybody has a good time. But it's not for everyone. We have to go back to Exodus for this, all right? Exodus chapter 12 again, all right? Verses 43 through 49. Listen to what the Lord says. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, these are the regulations for the Passover meal. No foreigner may eat it. Any slave you have brought may eat it. Listen now, after you have circumcised him. The reason is circumcision meant you were in covenant with God. A temporary resident or a hired worker may not eat it. Why? Because he doesn't understand it. He doesn't know what happened. He was not there. He doesn't know what God did to be delivered. It must be eaten inside the house. Take none of the meat outside the house. Do not break any of the bones. There it is. Remember, Jesus didn't have any of his bones broken. The whole community of Israel must celebrate it. A foreigner residing among you who wants to celebrate the Lord's Passover must have all the males in his house circumcised. In other words, he must come into covenant with God. Then he may take part like one born in the land. No uncircumcised male may eat it. The same law applies both to the native born and to the foreigner residing among you. I love God's heart. I love his word, because what he's saying is, hey, a foreigner, there's a way in, but you have to come into covenant with me. That's what God says. And I'm so, like, I'm not afraid, because God's church will never fail. The gates of hell cannot prevail against it. But I see so many wanting to give up the truth and say, yeah, come on in. I know you don't like it that God said this and so you're not obeying it, but yeah, you can come on in. And it says our love feasts have been messed up. Says the one true body of Christ isn't working anymore. In church, we have to understand. And we have to remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again, all right? Beginning in the 27th verse. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat the bread and drink the cup, for those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. You see, it's not for everybody, because if you eat and drink in an unworthy manner, it means you don't recognize that Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for you. And so Jesus says, when you do this, you need to do it in remembrance of me. And the Apostle Paul said, don't come if you haven't examined yourself and you don't believe he is who he says he is. And it's interesting, the devil will take this and he will twist it with people and he'll say, well, they won't let us come to the table with them, you see, and he'll make us look like we're bad guys. But really, God is saying, I made a way for you. And it's a privilege to come to that table and to be called a child of God. And you can become a child of God. All you have to do is put your faith in him. Isn't it something? The world says, here, send us a check and then we'll take care of you. But Jesus says, I've taken care of you. Keep the check. Isn't that what he says? And he says, come and put your faith and hope in me and what was done on the cross, and you're forgiven. You can't buy your way in. But he's offered it. You see, he gave it to us and he gave it for us, his body. It's powerful, church. Your next point, to be part of the church, you must believe and remember. You must believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, that he is the Son of God. You must believe that his blood is enough to forgive your sin. You have to take what he's given you. You have to accept it by faith and step out in faith. Listen to the words of Martin Luther. He says, it is extremely important that we know where our sins have been disposed of. Great question. You know, do you know where your sins are right now? He says the law deposits them on our conscience and shoves them into our bosom, but God takes them from us and places them on the shoulders of the Lamb. If sin rested on me and on the world, we would be lost, for it is too strong and burdensome, God says. For the Lord says, I know that your sin is unbearable for you. Therefore, behold, I will lay it upon my Lamb and relieve you of it. Believe this. If you do, you are delivered of sin. There are only two abodes for sin. It either resides with you, weighing you down, or it lies on Christ, the Lamb of God. If it is loaded on your back, you are lost. But if it rests on Christ, you are free and saved. You ready for his next words? Now make your choice. Wow. Where are we going to go this morning, church? How are we gonna act? How can we be the church? The first thing is you have to remember what Jesus did for you. You have to know it. He said, whenever you do this, remember me. My question for you this morning is, do you remember something else? Do you remember the time that you passed from death to life? See, it's very important, church. I'm in the middle of this day after day where I ask somebody, have you ever opened your heart to Jesus Christ? Well, you know, the pat answer, I'd say the number one answer is, I've never killed anybody. I'm a good person. And I say, okay, that's good to know, but that's not it. Do you remember the time you passed from death to life? You see, I remember the time I passed from death to life. It was on a Friday night. I was rocking my son to sleep, and the devil was tormenting me, saying, if you get this religion, if you take this Jesus as your Savior, you can't drink beer with your buddies anymore. He said, what are you going to do at a beer frame? How are you going to play softball with your friends? Everybody's going to laugh at you. What are you going to do? And it was so intense, it convinced me there was a devil. And I did the most simple thing that night. I said, dear Lord Jesus, help me. And I'm here to tell you, I know that night I passed from death to life. I could hear the wind of the Spirit of God blowing in my head, and I could feel the devil trying to hang on to me, and it was no contest. God came into my life, and he booted the devil. He's still sliding right now. He kicked him so hard. And I went to sleep that night, and I slept like a baby, and I've never awakened the same, not again. I never woke up the same way after that. Every day I've awakened after that, I've come alive in Christ, and I wake up and I know I'm bought by the blood of Jesus. Now the question this morning is, have you had that time? Can you remember a time? And maybe it wasn't that traumatic. Maybe nothing, no fireworks went off, no alarm sounded, but you have to know, church, that you've opened your heart, and there was a time when you passed from death to life. The devil was defeated in your life. If you're in here today and you're saying, man, I can't remember. I don't know that time. I can't put a place on it. Then this is what you need to do this morning. Before the bread gets into your hand, you have time. You have time. It's between you and God. It's not between you and me. It's not between you and anybody else in your family or anybody sitting around you. You and God can do this right now. You have to tell Jesus you believe that he's the Son of God, that he came to this earth and was born of the Virgin Mary, and that he went to the cross and he allowed his body to be beaten and broken and nailed to a cross, and he shed his blood so that your sins can be forgiven. And then you have to ask him, you have to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. That's all easy stuff. You ready for the tough part? You have to take the reins and you got to put them in his hand and say, now be my Lord and take over. Whew. Ask me this question. It's so crazy. They say, how did you go from being a farmer and putting garage doors in to being a pastor? I go, whew. say, when he opened the door, I will walk. Father, we come today in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we want to be the church. Lord, we don't want to come to church. We want to be the church. And so, Lord, this morning I pray for your Holy Spirit to touch every one of our hearts here. Lord, again, if there's one that doesn't know you, I pray by right now they know you. Lord, convict us of sin so it can be washed away. And then, Lord, as we come to this table, prepare us, man. We remember what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We thank you. We praise you, Lord. And we look forward to being with you forever. Amen. Let's go to the table. This morning that this bread represents your body. You freely allowed it to be nailed to the tree to take away our sins, Lord. It symbolizes our flesh being put to death so that we can live for you. And so, Lord Jesus, we remember what you did. We thank you and we praise you. Let's eat.
At break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample.
It's interesting, we can forget what Jesus did for us sometimes. I don't raise your hand when I ask this, but I wonder if any of you know people who don't forget what you've done wrong. And here's the key, when somebody remembers what you've done wrong, it's very, very important that you remember the blood of Jesus. I would even suggest you bring it up and say, I'm sorry, but I'm so glad that my Lord's blood has forgiven me. Lord Jesus, today we remember you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to forget all the things that have been done against us, like you forget what we've done against you. And Lord, we just worship you, we praise you, and we remember, Lord Jesus, what you did for us. Let's drink. Lord, I pray you would build faith into us, that, Lord, hopelessness would give way to faith in you. And, Lord, I pray that you would heal the body today. If we're going to be the church, Lord, you want a healthy church. And so, Lord, I would ask that you would heal us spiritually, that we would draw close to you today. There would be nothing between us and our Lord and Savior. And then, Lord, I pray that you would heal our bodies today. That, Lord, physically we could be healthy and we'd have the mind of Christ, Lord, so we can be the church. Lord, if those two things come into place, we will be emotionally, mentally sound because we'll have your mind. So, Lord, help us to be the church today and to be a healthy church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, I'm going to ask the pastors to come up. If there are small group leaders here, come on up. And if you need prayer, come on up. If we'll want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. God bless you.